You guys were singing like it was Easter Sunday and like the church was filled. Nice job. Our text for our meditation today is from the Gospel of St. John, the 16th chapter, specifically those last eight words. No one will take your joy from you. This is our text. You know, I hear it. You guys think that because Heinert and I have been preaching for 30 years that this is an easy task. Well, it's not true. Dan and I and David, we still get nervous before sermons, and I have to tell you, I was feeling a lot of pressure this week as I prepared my sermon. You see, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ganey told a story about a blogger who wrote about his conversion on a Sunday when the text was the conversion of St. Paul. And so last week, Pastor Heiner, not to be outdone, told a story of a 15-year-old boy who was drafted into the German army at the end of World War II and was spared his life because he had a German New Testament in his pocket. And that boy became the father of a Lutheran pastor, the Reverend Charles Brandt. And so, because those two began their sermons with stories, I was feeling particular pressure this week that I had to find a story to start my sermon off this week. And that story takes the form of a newspaper article published in September of 2013 about a boy with Angelman syndrome. The article reads, "A toddler suffers from a rare genetic condition, which means he cannot stop smiling. Ali Petterlich, who's two, from Wiltshire, was born with Angelman syndrome, a chromosomatic disorder which causes severe learning difficulties and puts a permanent smile on his face. Sufferers present a happy demeanor and so are often smiling or laughing and tend to be easily excited. The condition is so rare that less than 1,000 cases have been reported in the UK. Ali's mother, Annie Campbell, said, "Ali's smile and happy personality just makes everything worthwhile. I can be seriously sleep-deprived, but his smile never fails to cheer me up. He has a knack of making you feel his excitement, and his giggle is just amazing. The only thing any parent wants for their child is to be happy, and I know that with Ali, I will always have that." Miss Campbell, 24, often receives compliments about her little boy's beaming smile. She said, "We get a lot of compliments about his smile when we're out and about, which is lovely. It really does make you happy when you see his grin. He was a very relaxed and placid baby, too. He'd always babble away to himself without a care in the world." He was Miss Campbell, who is now the full-time carer for her son, only discovered Ollie's condition when she noticed that he couldn't focus on things properly. She said, "Ali was 6 months old when I started to notice that his development was delayed. His older brother was much more advanced at his age. Then one evening, I spent several hours trying to get him to follow my finger with his eyes. He just couldn't do it. I really started to worry, so the next morning I went to the GP, general practitioner, to be on the safe side. We were referred to the hospital where they did eye tests, but we were eventually told that Ali suffered from something neurological, but they weren't quite sure what. Miss Campbell was then transferred to a second hospital where her little boy underwent more tests. Meanwhile, she had come across Angelman syndrome in a magazine and was convinced that it was what her son suffered from. She said, I'd read an article in the magazine and the symptoms described were exactly the same as Ali's. I rang his dad straight away and told him that Ollie had Angelman. I was certain of it. I just knew that's what he had. And then 2 days later, 6 weeks after our first appointment, it was confirmed by the doctors. By this point, I had already convinced myself that he had Angelman, so it was a relief to finally get a diagnosis. I just wanted to learn as much as I could about it so I knew how to help Ollie. I went online and tried to find out as much as possible. I read that Angelman has to do with a deletion of a chromosome. It's funny how such a tiny thing like that can affect someone so much. I found support groups and other moms who had children with Angelman's too. That's how I got the most help and information. Ms. Campbell added, Ollie won't be able to speak or walk with ease when he grows up, which is upsetting. I do worry about him in the future. I wonder how I'll know if he's ever upset or sad when Angelman makes him so happy all the time. But at the moment, I just enjoy the lovely little boy I have. You know, I find it amazing that in this world created by our loving God, that it's strange to think that it takes a genetic mutation for someone to be happy and excited all the time. I assume we have to go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin to find two people who were perfectly happy all the time. And that's just the problem. Happiness should be the norm. Unfortunately, we all know all too well today that sadness and grief are the norm rather than happiness and joy. And still, in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. You heard that. Jesus said it. No one will take your joy from you. That's an amazing promise in our world today. And that's exactly what so many people in the world are looking for. We just want to be happy. We just want to experience joy. We just want peace and harmony in our lives. But the fact of the matter is, 1 in 10 persons are afflicted by depression at one point in their life or another. The number of patients diagnosed with depression increases 20% each and every year. Depression is most prevalent in people who are 45 to 64 years old. There are 121 million people around the world currently suffering from some form of depression right now. And yet, we see Jesus' words in black and white. No one will take your joy from you. To understand how Jesus can make that claim, we need to take a look at what Jesus says a little earlier in our text. Jesus says, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. The disciples didn't know what Jesus was talking about. In fact, they start to question each other about that phrase, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. For us, we know exactly what Jesus was talking about. You see, this text takes place on Maundy Thursday. Jesus speaks just a few hours before he's going to be arrested, before he's going to be tried, before he's going to be crucified and laid in the tomb. In a little while, the disciples will not see Jesus because he will be dead in the grave. But yet again, in a little while, they will see him again because he'll be raised from the dead. John writes a little bit later in John 20:20, after the disciples saw Jesus again in that upper room, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord again. See, it would take the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to bring joy to the disciples and to our sinful world. And it only makes sense. Our world is filled with sin. And that sin brings with it not just sadness and guilt and depression, but that sin brings with it God's wrath and eternal punishment, which is a lot worse than any sadness and depression could ever be. But because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we have total forgiveness of all of our sins. We know that we have eternal life with our God. And because we have every single one of our sins forgiven, and because we know that we are going to live in heaven with God for all eternity, we have that joy. And no one will take your joy from you. And so because of Jesus and his death and resurrection, you can pay your taxes last week and no one will take your joy from you. Because of Jesus, your doctor can tell you that you've got cancer and no one can take your joy from you. Because of Jesus, you can lose your job and no one will take your joy from you. Because of Jesus, you can go absolutely bankrupt and no one will take your joy from you. Because of Jesus, we can even endure a particularly annoying presidential election and no one will take your joy from you. It's not because of anything that we have done. It's not because of some genetic mutation. It is totally because of the love of God and because of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that no one will take your joy from you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God